This is All Things ANSYS, a podcast from the technical support staff at PDT. Episode 1, our first podcast where we talk about topological optimization and ANSYS 18. Well, welcome. My name is Eric Miller, and I'd like to welcome you guys, to everybody out there, to our first edition of our podcast, Everything About ANSYS. We're PADT, and we've been ANSYS users for about 30 years now, some of us, and a little bit more for some of us. And we thought that after about 8 or 9 years of podcasting being a thing, maybe we'd give it a try as well. We think it's going to stick around for a while, so maybe it's time to take a look at this newfangled thing called podcasting. So I've got a group of PDT engineers here, and we hope to join you every once in a while with our take on things in the ANSYS world, new news, things we've learned in working with our customers or from ANSYS folks, and just kind of talk about what we think users of the software product might be interested in. I'll also add now and at the end that this is not an officially sanctioned broadcast or media piece from ANSYS Inc. itself. This is the opinion of those of us here at PADT only, and in no way is their opinion. They haven't told me to say that, but I'm guessing they will. So we'll just add that in there up front. Let's go ahead and do some introductions. I'm going to go to my left here, Mr. Rubinoff.
Hey, I'm Trevor Rubinoff, and I'm the marketing specialist for simulation and 3D printing here at PADT.
I'm Joe Woodward. I do tech support and training here at PADT for 16 years now.
I'm Ted Harris. I manage our simulation support group here at PADT, and I've been with PADT for 18 years.
And how long have you been using ANSYS, Ted?
I've actually been using ANSYS for 30 years as of last month.
Yeah, great. My name is Eric Miller. I'm one of the owners here at PADT, and I've been using ANSYS for about 31 years, and it's been a great ride and a great experience. So we're glad to show you guys, share all this with you guys, and we'll have a little bit more at the end about what's coming next. So I want to go ahead and get started with a discussion on a specific topic. And that topic is something that a lot of customers ask us about a lot, which is topological optimization, which is the basic concept of taking a FEA model and removing parts from it in order to get an optimized shape. So we're going to ask Ted Harris to talk a little bit about it. So I'll start off with a basic question of, Ted, what do you think is the coolest thing about topological optimization, where it is right now in ANSYS?
Well, I guess the coolest thing is it's available in ANSYS 18. ANSYS had a topological optimization solution going back quite a few years, both in mechanical APDL, ANSYS Classic, and also what became ANSYS Mechanical. However, it wasn't used very much, and I think the missing piece was being able to take the optimized result you got from your finite element solution and actually be able to do anything with it. So what's new at version 18 is it's now embedded within ANSYS Mechanical, and also is now the link with Space Claim. And I think that's what really makes the ANSYS solution special at version 18, is that you have this link in the process to take that optimized mesh information and bring it into Space Claim and quite easily get a CAD solution that you can do something with, primarily printed.
Cool. That's true. I didn't think about that. It's really the addition of Space Claim rather than the solver side of things that made it feasible. And it works within the ANSYS solver. Is that correct? Does it do and what does it not do from a solving standpoint?
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about topological optimization. Yeah. What we're doing is we're taking pretty much a blob of material, or it could be an existing design, and we're applying loads and constraints and maybe some manufacturing constraints, and then we're letting our solver come up with an optimized shape based on some goal of reducing mass, keeping stresses below a certain level, things like that. And so we can come up with some pretty elaborate looking organic shapes that we probably can't intuitively come up with just with our engineering skills. So that being said, the great thing about topological optimization now is that with the rise of additive manufacturing, we can actually produce these shapes that we might not have been able to do or might not have been able to do effectively or efficiently in years past.
That's true. I remember looking at this, 10, 15 years ago with some of our customers, and they would come up with these shapes, but they had no way to manufacture them. So additive really totally changes that completely.
And I guess I didn't answer the question of what's special about having the ANSYS solver. So as the process is running, it's actually using the traditional ANSYS solvers to perform a solution on our finite element mesh. So it stays totally within the ANSYS tool set, and we can monitor the solution as it's running. It'll show us essentially where material is being removed to come up with that optimized shape while the solve is progressing.
Cool. And so it does static stress right now?
Currently static, structural, and modal.
Modal, okay. And that's at 18.0
is the initial release. Okay. Now in version 17, there was an ACT extension available from the extension download site, the ACT extension store on the ANSYS customer portal. At version 18.0, it's fully embedded within mechanical. Now it is a work in progress. This is the initial release, so not all the loads that you know we might want to be able to use are there. But if customers haven't used it, I would say go ahead and investigate it. It's a very powerful tool, even in the state that it's in right now.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, I was recently back at headquarters, and one of the nice things that we were discussing, some of the channel partners were meeting there, and one of the things we really like about it is we're not going to be limited as they add functionality and expose more of what's available in the ANSYS product suite. We're going to be able to do so many cool things, whereas with other tools that don't have an ANSYS solver behind them, it's not quite as capable. So we're really excited about it. You printed a part, right, for a summit there at the headquarters with all the tech support folks.
Right.
What was that?
Right. So I basically decided to come up with a project that would showcase the technology. And so I pulled some family members and said, you know, is there some product out there that you use daily that would really benefit if it had a weight reduction? And one of my relatives said, you know, it would be great if a wheelchair weighed less. And, you know, just getting it inside the vehicle, getting it back out, you know, it's cumbersome. So I thought, you know, that's a great idea. So in order to make it, you know, a feasible project, I just isolated one component of the wheelchair, which is basically the footrest and the support that holds that, and ran it through an ANSYS 18 topological optimization, and was able to reduce the weight by about a third while keeping the max deflection and the max stress about the same. And then here at PADT, we printed out a prototype of that optimized shape on plastic. The real part would have had some metal in it, but in the interest of time and expense, we printed it in plastic.
Very cool. So what should, if someone's interested in learning more about topological optimization with ANSYS, what should their first step be?
Well, the first step, if you're already an ANSYS mechanical user, you're already 95% of the way there because you're already using the tool that has the topological optimization capability built in. So I would, you know, I would just recommend looking at our blogs. We've got some blogs about it. It's fully documented in the ANSYS help, and, you know, there's some videos and tutorials available as well.
Great. And you guys have anything to add on topological?
I was going to say what's really nice in 18 is that you can have multiple load steps or multiple loads.
Oh, nice.
Different load cases that it's optimizing on both sets.
So we're really excited about it. I think you know a lot of our customers are very excited, especially those that have invested in metal 3D printing are the ones that are really driving our investigation into this. So as Ted said, you know, we do, this is an exciting topic, so it tends to make it to our blog a bit more. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know about our blog, but if not, it's on our website, www.padtinc.com/blog, and a lot of what we talk about here is documented in further detail there, and that's where we'll continue to post notes and things from this as we go. So any other, I think that pretty much covers topological optimization. So we'll come back with something else next week. One of the things we're going to ask is that folks email us at info@padtinc.com if you have any suggestions on topics you'd like to hear as we go through these podcasts, and we'll cover them in a little more detailed discussions. So Trevor, And those of you who don't know Trevor, he heads up our marketing efforts here, so you're probably getting an email from him occasionally. Hopefully you're reading them. What do we got coming up seminar-wise?
So as far as simulation goes, we have our co-webinar with Nimbix. Basically just a discussion of the benefits of using cloud computing, the capabilities of HPC with Ansys, and then really the advantages of leveraging Nimbix specifically and why we use them here at PADT.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys used Nimbix? Are there YouTube guys?
No.
So unfortunately, the folks here at PADT that have used it are not in today. They couldn't join us, but we've been looking for a good remote, let's say, cloud solution. Maybe we'll do a podcast on why I hesitate to say cloud, but it's a remote solver solution out there, and Nimbix seems to be it. And so definitely attend this webinar. We'll share with you what we've learned in actually using it on real problems, and maybe even more importantly, getting our customers up and using it on real problems. And it's been a successful implementation, and to be honest, one of the few we've tried for a long time, and we've been really happy with Nimbix. Price, performance, capability, it's pretty cool stuff.
Right, so that will be happening August 23rd, mm-hmm. Wednesday, August 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Arizona time. And like Eric was saying, I'm sure you guys, if you know about us, you'll see an email in your inbox sometime soon with an invite, or you can always check the blog or our website. All of our event information is on there.
Yeah, and all of our event stuff is over on the right side column of the blog page, and you can just click on the link for any of the things you want to register to that we're doing. It's coming up. So our next topic, going on really quickly here, is a little bit of a roundtable about the latest version of Ansys. So Ansys 18 has been out for a little while. In fact, I think they're about to do 18.2 release soon. But we've been using it for a while here. Hopefully you guys as well. So I just wanted to kind of throw it out there and ask you guys, besides topological optimization, actually, let me back up a little bit. How many people out there vote on finding a new name for topological optimization?
It is kind of a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Having a very in-depth technical discussion. I'm pushing for TO out there as an abbreviation.
Some people call it topology optimization. Totally. That shortens it a little bit.
Or top opt.
Yeah,
so,
top opt.
Topo opt. Let's lobby for that out there in Ansys land, so that we don't have to say that mouthful. Like when we decided to call mechanical APDL MAPDL, it saved me a lot of time in my life over the last 10 years. Okay, so I'm back onto the topic of 18.0. I'm just gonna go around and just kind of think of things. What do you guys think's really cool in 18.0 that you'd like to share with the team?
Well, one of the things I like is ACT.
Mm-hmm.
It's come out in the last few versions, but they keep adding more and more
mm-hmm.
access to loads and things inside of ACT or inside of mechanical and the other packages
mm-hmm.
as well. So we're getting to where we can tie different packages together and really customize things.
Scripting and space claim.
Yes, yeah, scripting and space claim is a big one.
That was what I was going to bring up to me.
Yeah.
That's huge that we can now script geometry creation, which
right.
to me is a massive improvement.
And it's all in Python, and they're consolidating all the scripting.
Okay, good.
Back into Python.
Okay.
Which is really nice. We can really do a lot of cool mm-hmm. stuff that we couldn't do before.
Because we've done a lot of customization projects recently where we've leveraged ACT to get in there and create user interfaces and things and custom applications for customers. Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. What about you, Ted?
Another one that I like is being able to apply bolt pretension on a beam connection.
Oh.
So that's something that can save time and certainly computational expense, is just define a beam connection between a couple of nodes on different parts and apply your bolt pretension directly to that beam connection. So that was a new feature at version 18.
Yeah, up till now you had to have an actual cylinder in there and have a mesh.
Okay.
And apply the beam or the pretension to the solid mesh.
Cool.
And it would do that. But now you can do it on a beam, which is we were doing 25 years ago.
In mechanical APDL.
Yeah, in mechanical APDL, that's the way it was done. So it's nice that they've gotten that back in there.
I've tried it. It's really easy to do it. It's fast. It's simple.
Okay. You have an assembly with 300 volts. You're saving quite a bit of computation time.
There's a lot of
extra elements that you're getting rid of.
And we're seeing more and more customers model their fasteners, it seems like. It seems like more and more models are actually in there rather than approximating it. So it's good. Good.
Another new one is the lightweight ANSYS viewer.
Oh, yeah.
So ANSYS had a viewer in the past, but it was just for CFD.
Right.
So starting at version 18, there's a more general ANSYS viewer. Okay. And the idea behind this is in mechanical, you can write a lightweight results file. It's a special format file, and that's readable by this ANSYS viewer, and then pretty much anybody can download this lightweight ANSYS viewer from the ANSYS website and be able to view results from that lightweight results file.
Not having to install ANSYS.
Yeah, there's no license required. There's no cost in doing that. You just have to download it. And, it's simple. It's light. It's easy to use. So it's just another way for us to be able to collaborate with people at different sites, different countries, whatever the need is.
That's one of those little things that can make a big difference. Instead of sending a PowerPoint around that people want to spin and doesn't. Good point. I think for me, I've been big on this for a couple of releases. It's just the improvements in meshing on the CFD side. And I apologize for those listening. This is not going to be a mechanical only podcast, but all of our CFD guys are on vacation or dealing with customer issues, traveling to visit customers right now. So they're all actually out of the office today. So next time maybe we'll do a little bit more CFD. But what I've seen is just more robust meshing, better quality meshing. The native polyhedral is coming along quite nicely. We're just seeing a lot more. A lot of customers were very frustrated. That was their biggest frustration on the CFD side was meshing. And that's becoming less and less as time goes by. So we're really excited about that. You guys have anything else?
Yeah, another new one is the thermal contact results. You can now use the contact tool. Works with thermal to get your heat and things across contact bases.
That's a key one I think a lot of users don't realize they can do if they're casual users is, you can do a multi-physics simulation with thermal and stress, and it'll actually calculate the proper resistivity across that contact based on the pressure across it. And now you can post-process it, which is kind of a useful step in the process. You probably had to do it by hand before. Cool. What else? Anything?
There's just a lot of general enhancements. I'd suggest for anyone that's using ANSYS Mechanical, always look through the release notes.
Yeah, very good.
Because, we can pick and choose like we've been doing here, but there may be some things that are very specific toward what customers are actually using the tool for. So viewing those release notes is a great way to see what the new features are.
Yeah, in fact, that brings up a really good point. We've inherited some customers in Southern California that have maybe been off maintenance for a little while. And when our engineers go in there and talk to them, they're often surprised at how far the code has progressed in the last three or four releases, whether they're, EMAG or CFD or mechanical users. And ANSYS is spending a lot of time and a lot of money on improving this code, and you need to get in there. And the release notes are great.
And if people don't know where the release notes are, they're right in the very top portion of the ANSYS help. So just load the ANSYS help for whatever version you want to look at. And over on the left side in the contents area, the very first thing is going to be the release notes. And if you're not aware, you can launch the ANSYS help without checking out a license. From the ANSYS start menu, just click on ANSYS 18.0 help or ANSYS 18.1 help, and it'll just fire up the help window without bringing up the full ANSYS GUI or checking out a license.
That's next time you're on someone else's seminar and board, you can read the release notes while you're supposed to be listening. So very good stuff. There's a lot more in there. Like Ted said, read those release notes. So let's move on. I'm going to do a little bit of ANSYS news here. So chime in, guys, if you have any comments on these. Kind of a cool one that's new and different is that the New Zealand World Cup or America's Cup sailing team won the the America's Cup this year, and I was fortunate enough to share a ride with one of the sales guys from the Australian channel partner Leap. Great group of guys, fantastic location for a channel partner on the beach in Sydney. But they're very involved with Team New Zealand. That's part of their territory. And he had some great stories about how they had switched from Abacus to Fluent and Ansys Mechanical, and you know, using competitive codes, and really did make a difference. They were doing some pretty very sophisticated stuff, really pushing the technical staff at Leap to help them push the code, to get the weight down, to get the strength up, and a lot of work on optimizing those sails, because they're not really sails anymore, right? They're really wings. So CFD is really, really important. So look for Ansys is very happy about this and sponsored them. So there'll be a lot more press on this as time goes by. So probably some good articles in Advantage Magazine and stuff like that. So it was really kind of neat to see. One thing he did tell me is that there is, the new wing on the boat is a totally new design that was driven 100% by both structural and CFD. So they really did use simulation-driven design on that.
And that's a great thing about Ansys is, you know, with a single user interface, mm-hmm. You can couple physics together like that and you know, just share loads and results back and forth and iterate on a solution.
Yeah, I mean, they're a highfalutin, you know, yacht racing team, but it's still an engineering team with structural guys and thermal guys and stress guys and fluid guys all trying to work together to optimize their product. So it was great to see them do that. Another big piece of news on the business side for Ansys is that they joined their stock, ANSS, joined the S&P 500 in June. That means they have over $10 billion, their capitalization value. What it would cost you to purchase them, Ted, if you wanted to go out and buy Ansys, would be $10 billion.
Maybe
you get a discount as a longtime user. So they're considered, they're representing the large cap market space for application software sub-industry. If you're a stock weenie, you probably know what that is more than I do. But it's pretty significant for those of us that remember going to visit the 12 employees at Ansys back when we started to see them on the S&P 500. Being represented like that is pretty exciting stuff and shows how far the company has come. And the other thing that's kind of unique about them is they just do simulation software. So to be that big and powerful, it shows the importance of simulation. They released their Q1 financials. They're actually going to release their Q2 on August 2nd. So look for that. But you know, Q1 was really strong. They had a 14% increase in operating cash flow and a 16% increase in earnings per share with a 12% increase in revenue. So they are going to hopefully break that $1 billion in revenue in 2017. It's been elusive, but hopefully this year they're going to actually break through that. Accounting, how they account big, a lot of their deals have been long-term big deals, and how those get accounted over the years has been kind of frustrating for them because they sign these deals, but they can't count them all in that year. So hopefully they'll make it over the $1 billion this year. They have over $866 million in cash at the end of Q1. That's probably gone up since Q1. They did make an acquisition I'll talk about next. But, you know, they're going to buy somebody, I'm guessing. That would be probably all of us can agree that with that much money sitting around, there's probably some acquisition coming up.
I was just saying, the great thing about Ansys is they really do reinvest into research and development.
Yeah, they really, really do. It's kind of nice to see that these things are getting funded, that money's getting used quite well. Their revenue was $253, and the stock has been up above $120 for a while now. So we'll see where it ends up after the first half of the year. So we look forward to seeing that, as all of you do, because the better they're doing, the more money they spend on developers. That's the way I look at it. It's easier for the guys I know that are managers over there to hire people. I talked about an acquisition. This happened, I think, last week or the week before. They bought a company that makes a CFD post-processor called Ensight, and the company is called CEI. We don't know any of the details on all that. I did get a chance to meet the head of sales for them when I was in Pittsburgh last week. Really nice guys. We've played with the code here for a while. A couple of our engineers have used it. We have a couple of customers that use it. It's a really nice tool. I got a chance to spend some time with some of the folks that were visiting at the same time I was in Pittsburgh. And my big takeaway that got me excited about it is, because CFD Post is a good post-processor, there's no question of that, but it uses its own language to script It's kind of a unique way of doing calculations as well. And it was designed for CFX and has been expanded for Fluent, and they want it to cover far more than just Fluent and CFX. So by acquiring kind of the best in class, Ensight's kind of the best in class post-processor out there, it is really, really powerful in the ability for it to do analytics. So going in there and calculating these values that CFD guys calculate, like on cross sections and on streamlines and things like that, is really powerful. And it's scriptable in Python. So that was the first question I asked him is it scriptable? And what language?
Is it Python?
And he said, I thought you were going to ask me all sorts of sales questions. And I said, no, if it's those things, I'm happy. So it is those things. It's a really high-end general-purpose post-processor. It does support FEA to some extent already, and it will be expanded to support other solvers. So this is going to be our high-end scriptable post-processor for the future of Ansys. Great group of guys, great programmers. If you're interested in seeing the code, contact who you get Ansys from. We're starting to be able to get temp keys. One question we always get asked is, well, will it be available, blah, blah, blah. We don't know which versions of Ansys it will come with, whether there'll be a charge for it, whether you'll be able to buy it standalone. For the next, at least till the next release, it is a standalone product that you can buy from Ensight or through Ansys just as a post-processor. And it's not too expensive either. It's, I forget the prices, but it's pretty reasonably priced. So if you need a high-end FEA or CFD post-processor right now, jump in. And or wait around and see, we'll be announcing when 19 comes out how it's going to be packaged with Ansys. Right now it's on its own license server. It'll be on the Ansys license server at 19, hopefully. So integrating that. That's really exciting for us to see that come along. Let me see. I got one more thing, two more things real quick. The Ansys student download has been really, really popular. If you're a student and you're listening to this and you don't have it, you can basically go download Ansys products for free, shockingly. Of course, you can't use them to do a lot of work, but you can use them to do your studies and play with it and learn it. There's great long learning tutorials, so definitely check that out. And I saw a blog article. I was looking for something to pass along that was a really good blog article. And for those of you in the high frequency electromagnetic side that are interested in metal 3D printing, they just did a blog article on printing antenna, optimized antenna using HFSS. Same thing as we were talking about with topological. You come up with these crazy shapes and designs, and they 3D printed it out of metal. It's pretty cool. So that's all the news I got. You guys have anything you want to add?
No. Okay.
So we did pretty good. We kept under 30 minutes. I appreciate that, everybody. Like I said, this is an experiment. We're going to definitely do 5 of these. So we would really appreciate it if you share this with your coworkers. Even if you don't like it, tweet about it, blog about it, talk about it on Facebook, because as long as you spell our name right, we're okay with it. It'll be available in all of the standard outlets for podcasting. So just search for Ansys Podcast. I think it'll show up if you go to any podcasting. There's nobody else out there doing this, so it should be easy to find. But let your friends know. Send us any suggestions on topics to info@padtinc.com. And we really appreciate your time. We hope this has helped you with your commute, your run, your chores, or whatever you're listening to this. And you can get back to listening to Game of Thrones again on your books on tape. So, Trevor, anything you want to add or any comments, words of wisdom?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing how this develops and this grows. And it should be exciting and a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, good.
I'll just put another plug for Python.
Python.
That's the scripting language for all Ansys products and everything else, basically.
Yeah, one of the reasons why he's saying that is that he's been knee-deep or maybe be waist-deep in hex meshing apart for a customer in a program called IsomCFD, which many of you may not even know is an Ansys product, but it's a really awesome hexahedral meshing tool, and he makes it dance with Python.
Well, actually, it's all tickle.
Oh, is it tickle? Okay.
Yes, but hopefully
they're going to do some Python. Okay. So it's a pretty amazing tool that he's been scripting. So we love scripting here at PDT.
Well, I'm already thinking about things that we did not talk about today.
Good.
That we can cover next time. So looking forward to it.
Write those down. Send us in your comments. We really appreciate you guys listening, everybody that's out there, and spread the word. So hopefully this will become a popular thing, and we can have some of you on as well as guests on the podcast in the future. So again, this is Eric Miller with PDT's All Things Ansys. and we hope to see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining us on this new adventure. This was our first attempt, so we hope you'll forgive us some of our amateur moves in saying "ah" a lot and slurring and such. As a reminder, this podcast is not affiliated in any way with ANSYS Inc., and the opinions expressed are the opinions of the people on the show only. For more information, you can visit www.padtinc.com/blog, and please share your thoughts and questions through an email to podcast@padtinc.com. See you next time.